In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Joining me today is John Duran. He's the lead vocalist and lead guitarist in the Los Angeles area band, The Violet Minefield. They're part of the burgeoning 60s scene in Los Angeles going on right now that also includes the Wild Gooms, the Killing Floors, the Sound Reasons, and the Night Times. The latest album from The Violet Minefield, Distorted Portrait, is available from our friends over at the Outro Records and is home to our recent coolest song in the world, Autonomous Overdrive. We'll hear a bit of that now, followed by my chat with John on your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. This is the Mighty Manfred, and joining me today for our coolest conversations is John Duran, lead vocalist and lead guitarist in the Violet Minefield from Pomona, California originally. The band is a mixture of 60s garage rock, surf, and psychedelic sounds. Their third album, Distorted Portrait, is out on Outro Records and is home to this week's coolest song in the world, Autonomous Overdrive. John, how are you?
Good, good. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. In fact, I'm pretty happy to be chatting with you here. I'm excited about it, too. I've seen you guys a couple of times now, and just a great songwriting, great performing. I've read that officially you guys are based in Pomona. Is that still the case or not?
I mean, yeah. That's where we kind of got started, so we just say that. But we're kind of all scattered around the Inland Empire and L.A.
Okay, well, how many of you guys actually live in Pomona now?
Actually, none of us do. Actually, none of us have ever lived in Pomona. That's just, like, where we started gigging.
Oh, okay. Well, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Ontario. Yeah, but I was born in Pomona. But, yeah, I grew up in Ontario with Sean, the bass player.
Okay. Well, you know, your music is certainly rooted in 60s sounds. Were you hearing that stuff at home as you grew up?
Yeah, totally.
Well, tell me about that. What was the home life like? Just like your mom or your dad had some huge record collection, or an older sibling did, or how were you hearing stuff?
Not really a record collection, but yeah, I remember my mom gave me a Beatles CD when I was really young. My dad had like The Who. And also skateboarding too. Like, I grew up skateboarding, and in skateboard videos, they always had like cool 60s music. So that's where I think it came from.
Well, do you have any siblings?
No, I'm an only child.
You're only child. And so you play guitar. We mentioned you being lead guitarist. What prompted you to pick up a guitar?
I don't know. Maybe, yeah, just watching those skate videos, hearing the music. Oh no, you know what? My friend, he was in a punk band, and we were like in middle school, and like we would hang out and like smoke weed, and he had like a little what do you call it, acoustic guitar, and he was playing like punk songs, and I was like, whoa, like, you know, he could do that, like I could probably do it too.
And remind me, how old were you when he was showing you that with the acoustic guitar?
Probably like 12.
Well, so he was playing guitar. He'd already figured out how to get some chords. So did you start playing on an acoustic guitar yourself or not?
Yeah, it was like a little Toys R Us acoustic guitar.
And where did that come from? Did your parents get you that?
Yeah, I think my dad bought me that one, and then like later on my mom bought me an electric guitar.
And so when well, okay, so you started playing on electric guitar. Did you play in any did you play in any bands or get together with other kids when you were still in high school, or did that come later?
Actually, me and Sean, the bass player, he lived like down the street, and he had a drum set. I don't remember if it was his or his brother's, but yeah, me and him would like jam. I didn't really know how to play yet, but we would kind of just do our own versions of like the Doors and stuff.
Okay, well, so you're trying to play like the Doors and stuff, and you mentioned your mom giving you like a Beatles CD, and your dad being kind of into the Who and stuff. Is that the things you were kind of drawing on at that time, or was there, because you also mentioned your buddy playing like punk stuff? Well, what were you guys trying to put together? I mean, you're just messing around, I know, but were there aspirations of something more?
I don't know. We were just trying to be a band, just trying to play songs. And I think that's like, you know, the Doors and the Beatles and that kind of stuff was just what we were listening to. And maybe because, like, yeah, my friends and stuff were all into punk, that it was kind of had that kind of a, I don't know, flavor to it or something.
Did you write your first songs with him?
Yeah.
What do you recall, like your what was the first song you guys wrote that you actually thought, oh, this is okay?
It was like ACD. Yeah. It was like dan 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 dan. I think this song was titled No Perfect Person. Yeah.
Did you ever record No Perfect Person?
No, we never recorded it. No.
Why not?
I don't know. We should have.
Like, did you make any, like, just I'd say record, and not just the idea of putting it out, but did you ever like just make some, like, I know I'm so old that we would like my boom box tapes, right? To have a boom box and you hit record and just have a condenser mic on it. But like, what would you guys record on, or would you record on it?
At that time, like I hadn't even know how to record, or I didn't even like that wasn't even a thought. I didn't even know how to do that. I just wanted to play. You know, I was only, I don't know, 12 or something. So it was like, yeah, I was just had no idea. But I mean, later, like in high school, we recorded our buddy RJ. He recorded us on like it's like a Tascam or something. Maybe it was a Zoom. It was like a little four track, but it was digital.
So you guys are kind of messing around together, you and Sean, right? Did I get that right?
Yeah, Sean.
And so when did you guys, I mean, how much time is there between you messing around with Sean and you guys bringing in other guys? And as you brought in other guys, is that how the Violet Minefield begins, or was that some other band?
Yeah, I was living in Laverne at the time, and I was going to the skate park, and I met this dude Charlie, and he played the drums. So then Sean switched to bass, and then that's kind of when Violent Minefield started. That was probably around 2013, 2012. So this was kind of a long time. Yeah, there was a big gap in there.
Why even form a band? I mean, was there, you're playing and you're doing other stuff. How important was the band and everything else that you're doing?
Yeah, before that, I guess it wasn't that important. It was just kind of a thing that we would just do. We would just mess around or whatever. I was really into skateboarding at that time, so I was really trying to do that. Yeah, I don't know why it became like, oh, this is the thing. This is what it is.
And how long has it been a thing? I mean, I looked up on Discogs, the discography page, and it has, according to it anyway, it says their first album, Hello Darling, came out like in 2019.
Yeah, we did a bunch of like CD releases before that. I think our first like CD L album came out in like 2013. So we've been doing it since around then.
And so when you're bringing the other guys in, there was never a question about what type of music influences you were going to be sort of incorporating. Because, I mean, you didn't take on like your buddies and stuff, people that you knew were like really into punk stuff, but that wasn't something that you guys were going to incorporate.
Well, I mean, well, in the beginning, like the first band, yeah, we were doing a lot of punk, like Johnny Thunder's kind of punk.
And you said you were initially doing a lot of gigging. Do you have any memory of like what the first gig was like? Was it good? Was it bad? Was it?
In my memory, it was good. Oh wait, no, the first, very first gig was at a school talent show, and like we decided to like change the song that we were gonna play right before. And like the bass player, his name was Carlos at the time, he like didn't plug in his amp, and like there's a bass break in the song, and like he was just, the bass break came and he wasn't playing.
He was playing air bass. Okay, so you guys get together and you start you're gigging and you put out your own CDs and you get a couple of other later beginning 2019 you get labels putting out stuff. The third album is Distorted Portrait. It's out now on Outro Records. When did you record the most recent album, Distorted Portrait?
Probably just a few months ago, I want to say, is when we finished it.
And do you have, yeah, do you, I was wondering, like, do you have any kind of recording philosophy?
I like to do it on tape, like cassette. I have a Tascam cassette tape that I record onto. I like to make it really like tape saturated, real fuzzy. I like to keep it kind of limited in the track count.
Yeah, how many tracks are on this Tascam that you're using?
It's four.
Four. And so you're bouncing stuff back and forth.
Yeah, definitely.
Let me ask you this, the thinking about like sounds and recording, if you had a time machine and we can go back to work with any of those 60s producers or engineers like Shel Talmy or Joe Meek or like Kearney, was it Kearney Barton? He's a Sonics guy. Who would it be?
Yeah, definitely those two guys.
Talmy and Meek.
Yeah, and oh, Joe Meek, yeah, Joe Meek, yeah.
Is there somebody you haven't mentioned that you would really like to have worked with?
George Martin would be pretty crazy.
He would be pretty wacky,
But
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, what do you think? Well, we'll start with Talmy. What could Talmy have done with you guys? What do you think that he would have brought to the table that you can't do yourselves? I mean, you've heard his recordings. What do you think he would have been able to do?
I don't know. Maybe just as an objective listener, he would hear something that I didn't hear,
Yeah. So the album's got, let's see, I think 14 songs on it. And one of the tracks, No Money, No Honey, when I've seen you play live, seems like, it's a cool kind of closing kind of song towards the end, cool build ups and stuff. Now that recording, didn't listen to it, but it seems like there's a version on on like that Hello Darling. But the one on Distorted Portrait, that is a new recording of the song.
Yeah, that's like the live version, like how we do it live. Yeah. On Hello Darling, that was kind of me just, I did it all, myself, kind of lo-fi, extra lo-fi version.
And so when you do it, you said you do it yourself. You're also the main songwriter in the band, or is that okay? All right. And when did you do all these tunes that are on the album? We mentioned
I know, Honey, you know, you'd written that before, but the other songs, the other 13 songs, when did you come up with those? I mean, are they older songs?
Yeah, some of them are like, some of them I've had them around for a while. Some of them were from, I was in another band, we were called the Out of Tunes, you know, and we kind of just stopped playing. So I was like, well, I might as well use those songs for something. So I did that.
Oh, so, okay, I didn't know that. So the Out of Tunes, and were they going concurrently at the same time?
Yeah.
Well, what was the difference between the two?
I don't know. Well, I guess it was just a little bit more raw, primitive, you know? It's more like a stripped down kind of style, I guess.
So in the Violent Minefield, it's you got two guitars, bass, drums, and you've got a keyboard player.
Yeah.
The Out of Tunes, was that a trio, or what was it different instrumentation wise?
Yeah, it was just one guitar, bass and drums and a tambourine.
You had a dedicated tambourine player?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Our coolest song in the world this week is Autonomous Overdrive. It's the new album's opening track. How did that song come together? Can you give me a story, like what inspired it? When did you write it? That kind of thing.
Oh, Steve from Outro, he was like, you guys could totally do a I Can See For Miles. You guys got to do a I Can See For Miles style song. I was like, okay. So I tried to write the Who, I Can See For Miles.
All right. Oh, cool. So this, he was asking for a Who thing there. And, you know, as I'm listening through the record, I mean, there's all kinds of cool stuff, you know, sort of touches on the this and that from that era, from that sort of mid, late 60s era. One of the songs, He Ain't the One, kind of gives me this Remains vibe, but I don't know if that's something that you listen to or not. Are you a fan of the Remains at all, the Boston band?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
they're very cool. Very cool, a Boston band. Speaking about the Shel Tomy stuff, Disillusion, another cool track off the album, would sit well in the Creation set. What inspired Disillusion?
I was trying to do the Who again, The Good's Gone. I was trying to do The Good's Gone.
Well, do you think you were successful?
I mean, I did something. I don't know.
I think it's pretty cool. So have you had a chance to play with any older bands?
Oh yeah, we played with the Prisoners. Prisoners was cool.
Oh, you mean the English band, the Prisoners?
Yeah.
Oh right. Yeah. Well, so
they're not from the 60s, but
right. You know, well, so I don't know if you know this, but I play in a band called the Woggles, and one of our guitar players is Graham Day.
Wow.
From the Prisoners. Yeah, yeah. How did you find out about the Prisoners?
Clifton, our keyboard player, told me about them.
Oh, that's right. Well, let's talk a minute about Clifton, because he's quite the man on the scene. Well known DJ in Los Angeles, and. Does he still have, what is his club night called?
I'm not sure. It seems like he's DJing every night of the week. He's he's on it.
And remind me, what is Clifton's last name?
Weaver, Clifton Weaver.
That's right, Clifton Weaver. That's right, yeah. Well, how did you wind up with Clifton in the lineup?
You know, I met him, we were playing a gig with his band, the Mercury Wheel, a while back. That's when I met him. And then during the pandemic, his band Mercury Wheel was recording in Inglewood. And then I knew the dude that owned the studio, and he asked me to help produce their record. And that's when I met up with him again. And I was like, dang, this guy's fucking good. And then I just, I asked him if he wanted to jam with us, you know.
And it's worked out.
Yeah, it's actually worked out really well.
You know, thinking about the album some more, I thought this was interesting. You got a track on there called Something Else. And to me, that's much more Buddy Holly than like an outright 60s thing. But I think, you know, you kind of make it your own, that kind of feel to it. What do you think about Buddy Holly?
Actually, I was listening to, I think it was on a serious radio channel. It was I think it was the Beatles doing Words of Love. And I was like, dang, they did that really cool. I'm gonna try to do my own style of Buddy Holly.
You know, when I saw you play the second time, and you'll have to help me with the name of this club is. It's in downtown LA, Escondites or Ditas or what? How do you say
your
that?
Your guess is as good as mine. Escondites.
Escondites. Well, it seems like you guys brought in like a small PA to sing through. Like they had a PA that's not that great necessarily, but works for the most part. But it seems like you were like singing through something separately.
Yeah. No, yeah. I always bring my own little messed up PA to get that sound, dirty sound.
And what do you find attractive? What do you find attractive about that sound?
I don't know. I think maybe it's because it like changes my voice, so I'm not listening to myself singing or something.
Well, when did you start carrying that, the PA, to gigs? Like, is that a long time thing or a more recent thing?
Yeah, it's been quite a few years now. I mean, I've always had like, would try to put my vocals through like a lot of reverb or echo or something to change it. But I figured out, yeah, I can really get it distorted through that PA. So I just, yeah, I bring it every time.
I know you were mentioning playing with the Prisoners. That was a festival in Spain,
yeah.
I think. Okay. And so that was fairly recent. Was did you play anywhere else in Europe, or was it just in Spain?
Yeah, we played Germany. Actually, it was just in Europe. It was Spain and Germany, and then we went over to the UK.
And how long were you abroad? How many weeks did you play overseas?
I think it was like four weeks.
That's a good long time.
Yeah, it was a long time.
And do you have a favorite have you been, well, let me ask a backup here. Have you been to Europe before?
No, that was the first time.
That was the first time. And how would you compare touring Europe versus touring the States or playing shows in the States?
Well, Spain was just like really cool. Everybody like seemed like they really knew the songs and they were really into it. Seems like, yeah, that our style of music over there is like, it's way more well received, I would say, than here. Yeah, I don't know. It was great. I want to go back.
And so that's Spain. So what about Germany?
Yeah, them there too. Yeah, there was like a cool scene there. Like people were into it, you know.
Have you done a lot of touring like stateside outside of California? No, okay.
No, we never. That was like our first tour, first time in Europe. Yeah, it was the first everything.
Well, then you were spoiled, weren't you?
Yeah. I mean, for that to be the first tour, like, yeah, the first show in Madrid, it was like a 1 p.m., like 1 in the afternoon show. We're like, oh, there's nobody's going to show up. There's no way. And it was like, you know, packed, and it's like, what the heck is going on? It was like, yeah, alternate universe.
Well, so that was interesting because we mentioned Graham Day's name came up, and so we played with Graham at the 100 Club in London, and I think you've done that too.
Yeah, we did that.
Right, which is cool. Very cool, noteworthy, you know, very cool place. Did you play anywhere outside of London when you were in the UK?
We did. We played Liverpool. And then that was when everybody got sick. I got sick. I lost my voice. But it was really cool. We played the Jacaranda. It's like the Beatles' first show or something was there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
how was the reception there?
They liked it. Yeah. I mean, it was not like Spain or Germany, but the people that were there were into it.
Do you have any upcoming shows? We've talked about you playing overseas. Do you have any gigs lined up in the next few weeks?
In May, yeah. May 3rd, we're playing at Permanent Records with...
Oh, really?
Yeah, with the Sound Reasons and the Loons.
Wow, that is great. Do you know what day of the week that is?
I want to say it's a Friday or Saturday.
Hey, we're going to finish up with another track off the new album, off of Distorted Portrait. Cut's called Go On Now. It's like, to me, it's kind of like taking a hitchhike in crosstown traffic, you know, which is a cool thing to me. A way cool groove on that. I want to ask you, so like this song, did it just kind of fall out of the ether like a low-hanging fruit, or something that took a bit more crafting, right? Was it one that came easy, or one that took a little bit more work to kind of get it where you wanted it to be?
I would say that one came kind of easy. I mean, the actual recording part might have been, that one might have took a few more takes.
Just, yeah.
But like the actual, the lyrics or whatever, that came pretty quick.
Well, you say it took a few more takes. Is this, like, what is the, for us, it's like, if it doesn't come in the first three takes, it's going to be quickly diminishing returns, you know? I mean, we've worked up the song ahead of time, but still, you know, if it's not, because the drummer's going to start to get tired and stuff. What about you? What is an average number of takes if you're like recording, or how important is it to be like really well rehearsed, or do you want to be a little bit looser when you go on the studio? What is your thought?
I mean, yeah, there's no, usually it's just me and Harry, the drummer. And like most of the time, this is the first time he's ever heard the songs. And usually we'll get it in like 1, 2, 3 takes.
And when you say usually it's just you and Harry, does that mean that when you're like the newest album, like Distorted Portrait, was that just primarily just yourself and him? And
yeah.
Then when you're playing out gigs, it's the rest of the band?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. Yeah. And that's been the formula since the beginning?
For the last three albums? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, the last two. The one before that, Hello Darling, I did that one all by myself.
Okay. Then drums included?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you played drums and well. I mean, you're just
I don't really. I mean, like on that album, I was just using like my fingertips on a floor tom for the kick drum. Like I was just kind of trying to make the sound of a drum set.
John, man, I want to thank you for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Yeah, thanks, Manfred. It was nice talking with you.
Yeah. All right, we're going to leave now with another track from the Violet Minefield. It's off the new album, Distorted Portrait, and it's called Go On Now. In Little Steven's Underground Garage. Tune Go On Now. That was a Violet Minefield here in Little Steven's Underground Garage off their latest album, Distorted Portrait. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's John Duran for being my guest on this week's Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza and Kurt Baker for producing and editing our podcast. New York City guitar slinger Ricky Bird, or Ricky B from NYC, has got a new solo album out on Wicked Cool Records titled NYC Made. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee will join us next time around to tell us all about it. That's Ricky Bird on our next Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
In fact, you might say we're well acquainted. And I meet them just like old friends.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.